Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or guest speakers open the Bible and help us explore what it means to follow Jesus in everyday life. Whether you're listening from here in Airdrie or somewhere else around the world, our hope is that these messages encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus. Thanks for being part of the Hillside family. As family, we go.
But today we're continuing our summer sermon series, or at least my summer sermon series, called Weird. And the basic idea behind this story is that there are some stories in the Bible that are weird. There are some stories from the life of Jesus, that are weird. Stories that when we read them, our first reaction isn't to necessarily go, that's the Jesus I know, that's the Jesus I love, that story makes perfect sense to me. But there are some stories that as we read them and as we walk through them, maybe we're tempted to read through this part a little faster. Maybe we're tempted to skip it. Maybe we read it and we just go, that's weird. I wonder what the next story might be. Maybe that will have something more to say to me. Maybe we're tempted to read it and we go, well, that's, I don't understand that. Somebody probably could, but that's a weird story. And it's not because we don't believe them. And it's not because we don't think they matter. But it's just because truly, honestly, there are stories that are weird. They don't neatly fit into the categories we have. They raise questions we don't know how to answer. They show us Jesus doing something or saying something that causes us to pause, that causes us to say, that doesn't sound like Jesus. That doesn't seem like Jesus. Or man, that's weird, and I don't understand why that happened the way it happened. And sometimes, if we're honest, we can just move past these stories because they feel awkward and they feel weird. But the conviction behind this series, what I believe to be true about these stories, is that while they are weird, the stories that seem weird that we might want to skip, there is a deep grace underneath them that we just have to look a little harder to see. The story might be weird, but the grace is real. And last week, we looked at the story of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman. This story it's weird, it's difficult, because this desperate woman comes to Jesus. Her daughter is suffering. Her daughter needs help. Her daughter needs Jesus. And Jesus responds to her in a way, that's confusing, that sounds harsh, that sounds difficult. And we discovered together that even though the story was weird, that the mercy of Jesus was so much wider than we understood it to be. This week, though, the story is not weird because of something Jesus says. This week, the story is weird because of something Jesus does. And so Mark sets the scene this way. This story picks up right where our story last week left off. Last week, the last verse of our story was verse 30. This week, we're starting on verse 31 of Mark chapter 7. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre, that's the city where our story took place last week, and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of the Decapolis. That's all areas around the Sea of Galilee. If you know your map of ancient Israel, Jerusalem is at the bottom, Sea of Galilee is at the top. They're kind of to the south and to the east of the Sea of Galilee at this point. And Mark will say that this is where Jesus is. Then he'll tell us this. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and who could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hands on them. To place his hands on them means that they begged Jesus to pray for him, to heal him. But before we get to what happens with the man, I want us to just take a moment and see the man. We're told that he's deaf and he can hardly talk. And that's not just a medical detail. It's a relational detail. It's a world-shaping detail. In a world where we don't have the accessibility supports that we have today, without hearing aids, without speech therapy, without texting, captions, and all the other things that can help people communicate, this man's life was probably deeply isolating. He may have spent years being unable to hear the voices of the people around him, unable to express what he's thinking or feeling, depending on others to speak for him, explain for him, advocate for him, and make sure that in all of it, he's not overlooked. His world would have felt small. But that's also why this detail that some people brought him to Jesus is such a big deal. We read that some people bring him to Jesus. We're not told their names. We're not told who they are. But what we are told is that when they found out that Jesus was coming, that Jesus was in town, that this person named Jesus that they had heard the stories of, their mind immediately went to this man who they knew, who maybe Jesus could help. When they hear that Jesus is in town, they think of this man, and they know that if we bring him to Jesus, maybe Jesus could help. And so they bring him, and they ask Jesus to pray for him. And this is a beautiful picture of what loving our neighbors can look like. Because sometimes love means bringing people to Jesus when they can't find their own way there. Sometimes love looks like helping people around us who we know need to find Jesus. That we look at the people in our world, the people around us, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, and instead of just thinking, man, they need Jesus, being willing to take the step of love and faith and say, would you come with me to find Jesus? And then Mark says something that's actually really easy for us to miss. He begins the next verse by saying, after he took him aside away from the crowd. A crowd has gathered, and in front of that crowd, these men bring this man they knew, their friend, to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you heal him? And the first thing that Jesus does is he takes him aside. He takes the man away from the crowd. And I think that this detail is easy to overlook, but I think it shows us something really important about Jesus. Because the crowd sees a condition, but Jesus sees a person. See, there's a crowd gathered, and a man is brought in front of the crowd, and he can't hear, and he can barely speak. And for the crowd, wow, what an opportunity to see something incredible. What an opportunity to have an incredible story. What a gift to be able to go home and say, how was your day today? Let me tell you what I saw today. But Jesus, he sees someone whose life doesn't need to be a public performance. He sees someone that doesn't need to be just a cool story for other people. Jesus doesn't turn this man into a spectacle. He does not make his suffering the center of other people's curiosity. He doesn't use the man's pain as a ministry moment for the crowd. Jesus doesn't use his ministry as a place to create content. Instead, he takes them aside. So before Jesus does anything, he dignifies the man. And for a man whose life was probably marked by so much struggle, by dependence, by misunderstanding, and by being talked about rather than being talked with, it's important for us to see Jesus' heart, to say, I see you and I value you. Now, that also doesn't change that what's about to happen is really weird. What is about to happen is really strange, but it does show us something about Jesus' heart in this moment. But then comes the next part of the story that makes this story part of this series. We read this in Mark 7. Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears, then he spit and touched the man's tongue. And this is where we become keenly aware that the Bible was not written by a marketing team. We become aware that the Bible was not written in the cleanest way, because if we were trying to make a clean, polished, easily digestible story about Jesus, he at least could have left those details out. Mark could have just said, Jesus took him aside and he healed him. And that's all you need to know. That would have been easier. It would have raised fewer questions. It would have been a little less uncomfortable for everyone who's involved. Each week when we close our service at the end, one of the reminders that I like to give you is that we love you. And it's true. We love you. I love you. As our church family, we love each other. And as your pastor, I believe with every fiber of my being that God can heal, that God can restore, that God can change your life in a moment. I believe that when we pray, God can do things. But I also know that if you came forward for prayer, and I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, Pastor Brad, put your fingers in their ears, then spit on your hand and grab their tongue. And if you do that, I will heal them. My brothers and sisters, you ain't getting healed. It's a weird story. It's a weird step that Jesus takes. And it raises the question of why. Because Jesus didn't need to heal like this. This was not the pattern of healing that Jesus has. In fact, if you read through the Gospels, one of the things you'll come to see is that Jesus never heals a person twice the same way. Like, no two people are healed the same way. Every healing story that Jesus has, it happens differently. There was no pattern of healing. This was not the steps that Jesus had to take. In fact, in the story from last week, the story that takes place right before this one in Mark, in just a couple of verses earlier, Jesus heals the woman's daughter from a distance. He didn't need to go into the house. He didn't need to touch the girl. He simply spoke and the daughter was free. And we see actually that happen a few other times where Jesus healed people without ever having to actually interact with the person. From a distance, he would say, if you go home, you'll discover your servant has been healed. So Jesus can heal from a distance. We'll see in other places where Jesus will just simply say, be healed. and they would be healed. Jesus didn't need to heal this way. Jesus could heal however he wants, which tells us that Jesus chose to heal this way. It tells us that these details, they weren't accidental, and they weren't what was required, even though it's weird. But it tells us that Jesus chose to heal like this. So why? Why of the infinite number of ways that Jesus could heal someone, why does he choose to put his fingers in his ears and grab his tongue? And I think to help us understand that, we need to go back to what was going on with this man. He was deaf, and he couldn't speak. So before Jesus heals him, Jesus takes a moment to communicate with him in language that the man can understand. The method feels really strange to us, but it may have spoken very clearly to the man. He can't hear. So Jesus can't say to him, "Oh, my name is Jesus, and I'm here to heal you. I'm going to pray for you. And your ears, they're going to be opened, and I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to be able to speak. Don't worry." He can't hear him. But fingers in the ears, I know it's closed. Touching the tongue, I know what's bound. Jesus enters in to the man's world. He enters into what's wrong with the man. He's meeting him in the place where communication has been difficult, limited, and painful. He meets him through touch. He meets him in a way that is personal to his need. And this is where this thing that feels so weird to us actually becomes this incredible picture of who Jesus is and how he loves. Because it shows us something that we need to see, that we need to understand about Jesus. The grace of Jesus is not sterile. Jesus doesn't see us and see our problems, see our life, see who we are, and stand at a distance so that we don't get any of us on him. He doesn't remain at a distance because you're too much of a mess up. You're too dirty. You're too much of what I don't want to be a part of. He's not distant and he's not detached. He's not saying, "I'll help you, just don't come any closer." But what we see is that Jesus is personal. He's physical. He comes near. And here he puts his fingers in the man's ears and touches his tongue. Not because he's being careless. Not because he wants this to be weird so people will remember it. Not because he's like, "Oh, I know how I'll get people's attention. I'll do something weird." He does this because he's not embarrassed by the man's need. He's not embarrassed by what's going on in the man's life. And maybe that's something that we need to hear this morning. That our suffering, that our vulnerabilities, they're not embarrassing to Jesus. Your weakness doesn't make him turn away. The places in your life that you wish were different, whatever they might be, physically, emotionally, spiritually, they don't cause Jesus to stand at a distance and go, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, that's close enough. I'll heal you from here, thank you." But just when we think that Paul has, or that Mark has given us everything we need to know about Jesus' compassion, Mark gives us another detail. In verse 34, he says, "Then Jesus looked up to heaven with a deep sigh, said to him, 'Ephphatha,' which means 'be opened.'" He sighs. Now, it can be tempting to, like, place on top of a sigh an interpretation. That Jesus, fine, be opened. But the sigh that we read about here, it's not a sigh of frustration, and it's not a sigh of being tired of dealing with things. It's a sigh of compassion. It's a sigh of grief. It's a sigh of sadness for the man. It's as if Jesus is stepping into the weight of what has gone wrong with this man's world. The closed ears, the bound tongue, the isolation, the years of being misunderstood, the brokenness that has touched this man's life. Jesus has compassion. Jesus sighs. And that shows us something, again, about how Jesus loves us in our moments of vulnerability and our moments of need. Jesus doesn't treat the healing like a magic trick. Jesus, he doesn't treat this man's suffering casually. He doesn't get irritated that the man is bothered because I'm here. He'll say, just get over it. I'm Jesus and I'm going to fix everything. He doesn't rush through this man's pain. He doesn't rush through this moment as if what's going on in this man's life is something, just one more problem that Jesus needs to solve before lunch. But Jesus is moved with compassion for everything that this man has had to walk through. And then after the sigh, Jesus speaks. Mark preserves for us the actual word that Jesus uses, Ephphatha. Mark wrote his gospel in Greek. And it would have been perfectly normal for him to just translate everything Jesus said to Greek. It's what he does in this story. It's what he does all throughout his gospel. But here, he preserves for us the word that Jesus spoke. He could have translated it, but instead, he wants us to hear it. Ephphatha, be opened. And when Jesus speaks, immediately the man's ears are opened and his tongue is loosened and he begins to speak plainly. The man who couldn't hear can hear. The man who could hardly speak now can speak clearly. And that's a beautiful miracle. What an incredible story. But it's not just a miracle because of the physical things that took place. It's physical, of course, and we shouldn't make it less than that. But it's so much more than just physical. The man's body is healed. His ears are opened. His tongue is loosened. He can hear. He can speak. He can participate. He can respond. He can worship. Jesus doesn't just perform this miracle so that a physical thing can take place. Jesus doesn't just open ears and a mouth. He opens the man's life. And this is where this story can speak to us today. Because although the story is weird and the way Jesus does things is strange, and although it is a strange story, maybe the hardest part for us to understand or to believe is that Jesus would come that close. Because most of us have places in our lives that we want to keep hidden. Places that feel vulnerable. Places that feel awkward. Places that feel difficult to explain. Places that we've set aside and we've said, this is not for anyone else to see. Places in our lives that feel closed. Closed by hurt. Closed by disappointment. Closed by grief. Closed by shame. Closed by fear. Closed because we tried and it went poorly. Closed because we tried to speak and no one listened. Closed because we've learned that it feels safer to not hope too much, to not need too much, to not feel too much, to not let anyone too close. Maybe it's grief that we don't know fully how to talk about. Maybe it's a shame that we've tried to carry so that no one else can see it. Maybe it's fear that's caused us to pull back from people. Maybe it's disappointment that has made prayer feel harder than it used to. Maybe it's a wound from the past that still affects how we hear, how we speak, how we trust, how we relate, or how we hope. And when we think about bringing these places in our lives to Jesus, we imagine him standing at a distance, maybe disappointed, maybe disgusted, maybe uncomfortable, maybe waiting for us to get cleaned up, sorted out, less complicated, less needy, less fragile. But this story gives us a different picture. Because in the face of this man's need, Jesus doesn't stand off at a distance and remain detached. Instead, he comes close. He takes him aside. He communicates in a way that the man can understand. He touches what's closed. He speaks to what is broken. He sighs over what is bound. And then he opens what only he can restore. And when Jesus opens what's been closed, he doesn't do it to expose us. He doesn't do it to shame us. He doesn't do us to highlight for the world around us, look what's wrong with them. He does it to restore us, to restore connection, to restore trust, to restore prayer, to restore worship, to restore hope, to restore the parts of us that have felt shut down, locked away, and unable to speak. That's the grace in this weird story. That's the grace that we find in this weird story with Jesus doing weird things, seemingly for weird or for unknown reasons. But what we discover is that Jesus is not embarrassed by the places where we feel most vulnerable. So maybe the invitation today is simple. Bring to Jesus the places in your life that feel closed. Not to be exposed, not to be shamed, not so that Jesus can make you into a spectacle for the world to see, but simply to be met by our Savior, who is willing to come close with his mercy. Maybe the prayer today is, Jesus, open in me what fear has closed. Jesus, open in me what shame has closed. Jesus, open in me what grief has closed. Jesus, open in me what disappointment has closed. Jesus, open in me what pain has closed. Open us again to your voice. Open us again to your love. Open us again to your prayer. Open us again to your community. Open us again to your hope. Because the story is weird. The details are unusual. The method is uncomfortable. But the grace is real. See, in this story, Jesus gets close. Jesus gets uncomfortably close. But my friends, that is such good news. Because Jesus is willing to come close enough to touch what's wounded. Jesus is willing enough to come close to speak to what is closed. Jesus is willing to come close enough to heal what's broken. And he's willing to come close enough to open what only he can restore. And so three takeaways for our time together. First, Jesus sees a person, not just a problem. Before Jesus heals the man, he takes him aside. He protects his dignity. He doesn't just see a problem to solve, he sees a life to change. While the crowd saw a condition that needed fixing, Jesus sees a person worthy of compassion and respect. His first act is to not perform a miracle, but to take the man aside, reminding us that our worth is not defined by our brokenness. Second, Jesus meets us where we are. Jesus heals this man in a deeply personal way, communicating in language that the man can understand. Rather than remaining distant from pain, Jesus enters into the man's world with tenderness and compassion. And he still meets people personally today, drawing near to our wounds and our brokenness instead of avoiding it. And lastly, Jesus opens what's been closed. When Jesus speaks, be opened, he does more than restoring a man's speech and hearing. He restores his life. In the same way, Jesus still comes close to the places that have been closed by fear, shame, grief, disappointment, or pain. And he opens them again to hope, relationship, worship, and life. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, today, with an acknowledgement that there are places in our life that for lots of different reasons, God, that maybe we've closed off. Closed off to others, closed off to you. Places that we've closed off and said, this isn't for anybody. This is just for me to hold on to. And God, I know and we can recognize that often the places where we feel the most vulnerable are the places where we feel the most shame. And God, for those places in our lives where we're filled with shame and a shame that speaks so loud that we don't want to bring it to you because we're worried about how we'll be received. God, I thank you that in your word, we're given a picture of exactly how we'll be received. God, that in your word, we're shown that you will come close. That in the face of our vulnerabilities, in the face of the things that are closed, in the face of the things in our life that should be different, God, I thank you that you don't just stand at a distance, but that you come close. That you come closer than we have ever imagined. That you come closer than maybe even we would be comfortable with. God, I thank you that you come close. And God, I thank you that you come close to open, to heal, to restore. God, I thank you that you come close to set us free, to open what's been closed. And so God, I pray that today, God, for all of us who are holding on to places in our lives, situations, God, physical things, emotional, spiritual, places where we're holding on to and we have been closed off to you, closed off to the world around us, closed off for all kinds of reasons. God, we pray that you would come and speak over us the same thing that you spoke over this man's life. That you would come and speak, be open. And that just like with the man, our hearts, our lives, our souls, our physical bodies, God, that they would be healed, they would be restored, God, they would be made new. That you wouldn't just heal, but that you would give us a new life. God, I thank you that in your word, we see how close you come. And God, I pray that for each one of us here today, God, we would know that you are close to us in everything we're facing and in everything we're walking through. God, would we know you're close? God, I thank you for just how close you come to us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting our church in the main menu, then our leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go,